Hello and welcome to another edition of the Marlena program. Yes, we are live tonight. We haven't been with you for a few weeks, but we're back tonight, and this is the show for the week of December the 3rd, 2007. Can you believe it? Well, take your shoes off, come on in and sit down, and we're going to do a combination of an open forum, and we have a surprise guest who's going to be helping out from time to time, starting next week is one of those times, co-hosting the Marlena program. That's on account of 'cause we don't like to give you too many canned shows in a row. So come on in, take your shoes off, and welcome back to the Marlena program right here on ACB Radio Mainstream. Well, here we are. Boy, you know what? It's been so long since I've been here that I'm not sure I know what to do, what buttons to push. Oh, my goodness. So you all have to help me out. We're going to open up the lines pretty quick here. But before we do all that and bring on the surprise person, let me do all the housekeeping that we have to do. And what we have to tell you is, let's see if I can remember it all now. Since the time changed, if you're listening to this program at any time on Sunday night in North America, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern, or on an early UTC Monday morning at 1 Universal, if you're listening at that time, we're live. If you're listening at any other time, hey, it's a replay. Put your feet up and just enjoy. But if you're listening live, get that dialing digit ready, because we want to talk to you. And the number to call, of course, is 866-666-7926. Now I just pushed the button that brings the surprise person in. Let me just tell you that the surprise person, you can hear this person on ACBRI. Now, a couple of you have written and said, oh, it's Jeff Bishop. Excuse me, are you Jeff Bishop?
No, I'm not.
You're not Jeff Bishop.
No, I'm sorry.
Well, darn. Are you... You surprised me. are you Rick Lewis?
No, I wouldn't be Rick either.
Well, doggone, do you know who you are?
Probably not.
Well, goodbye then. Debbie Hazelton, welcome to Marlena.
Well, Marlena, I think every moment is a surprise with you.
Did you have that planned? Or...
No, I didn't know what you were going to do.
That's okay. I never know what I'm going to do either.
I don't know how Jeff or Rick will feel about my imitation, my impersonation of them, but...
Well, I have a feeling we may find out.
Oh, that was from Dr. Bishop, you know.
That was very good. I'm really impressed with you. I'm very impressed.
Well, thank you.
You could start a whole new life.
We're just a good duo, what can I say, you know?
Well, and that's why I so much appreciate your being willing to step in from time to time when I'm not able to be here. Because, you know, I felt so badly having all these canned shows in a row. And people would send me email and they'd say, well, your line was busy all the time. And and I thought, oh, now I have to tell them that it was a repeat. And, oh, dear.
I did that once. I remember asking you why I couldn't get through because I kept calling and calling and calling. So I know. Oh, yes.
Well, you know, here's what I thought it would be fun to do. First, we'll ask Gary, the board guy, to just go ahead and open up the line. If we still have any listeners left after all the repeat shows they've had to endure. I thought it would be fun for people to kind of get to know you outside of your ACBRI and outside of the guest appearances that you've done on this show. One of the things that I love about my show is that I really try to connect with listeners and to make that, to hopefully make them feel as though I'm their friend and they're my friends. And so I thought it would be fun if we could just kind of talk about Debbie Hazelton for a little bit and where you grew up and all that kind of neat stuff, and let folks get to know who will be sitting in this chair from time to time.
Well, I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to do that, and it's a real privilege to be helping out. I mean, I love being your friend, and I also love being with many of the listeners. I mean, I've had some very special. I'm new to ACBRI even, but I have felt just so welcomed, and we just have a lot. We have a very loving group of listeners.
Well, and one of those loving group of listeners has already called in, so let's take the call, shall we?
Okay.
I'll let you do the thing. I'll push the button. Go.
Hi, you're on the air with Marlena and Debbie.
Hey, both of you. How you doing?
Great.
This here is Danny.
Hey, Danny.
Well, hi, Danny.
Now, let's
relocated
see.
From Pennsylvania in August, and I'm in Memphis, Tennessee now.
Now, Danny, I was just going to tell Debbie. Now, Danny's from Pennsylvania, so
originally I'm from Memphis, but I moved back.
So now you're back in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes.
Well, very good.
Well, that's good. You got a little bit of that southern draw to go with that state of Tennessee.
And you were just going to tell Debbie.
What, I was just going to tell Debbie that you were from Pennsylvania.
And now you're originally from Tennessee and then went to Pennsylvania and back to Tennessee?
Yes, I spent 9.5 years up there.
Okay. How are you liking it?
Well, I'm back where my family is, so I'm thankful for that. But I do miss a lot of friends in Pennsylvania. But, you know, there's always a trade-off for everything.
Now, Debbie, I'll tell you another thing about Danny. Danny mm-hmm. is a big apple guy. He likes the apple, right, Danny?
Yes. However, hey. In their latest update, which is Tiger 4.11, it has messed up the web access, and the same holds true. I went to a store to try Leopard, and there's a bug in that. So I think what all of us Apple people need to do is write to Apple and let them know, hey, there's a mess up. And hopefully they'll correct it.
Well,
that sounds good. I mean, that sounds like a thing to do.
Oh, speaking of computers, I've got an off-topic statement for you.
Yeah?
I heard an ad, well, not an ad, an article on 60 Minutes for the second time. And I tried to get onto onelaptopperchild.org to read about how to get one of those newfangled laptops that you can crank up for energy, because I think it'd be good, you know, at the same time you buy one for yourself, you buy one for them overseas.
Okay.
But you can only do it until the end of the month.
Now, so, I don't know about this program, so what are you talking about?
Well, there's a guy whose last name is Negroponte, and what he did was he got a group of geniuses together to make a laptop that I believe it runs on Linux. And what it, now, whether it has a program for blind people, I have no clue, but what his aim was, he saw a Cambodian village without electricity or anything.
Oh.
And he started putting laptops in the, you know, giving laptops to the kids. The laptops are battery powered, and if you live too far from electricity, I believe you can power it up with the sun, or you can use a crank, and you power it up that way. and it gets the internet by way of a satellite, is a signal that it gets from a satellite.
Wow.
Now, I don't really know what software is on it or anything, but it's supposed to be waterproof. It's supposed to be very intuitive for children to be able to use, I guess, because the GUI might be really good.
So do you,
I don't know.
So do you buy it? You go to the site and you buy one?
Supposedly what they'll do, they'll let people in places like America buy one for, I think, $100 or $200. I can't remember. And but the gist of it is whatever you spend, you put forth the equal amount and donate so that other people, without any means at all, can get a computer. But a funny thing, I went to that site and got a Wikipedia. It opened up onto a Wikipedia site, so I'm just not sure where to go to buy the darn thing. They didn't. Well, they did not mention, you would see this. They did not mention the name of the website on 60 Minutes, which I think is kind of cruddy, but be that as it may. I guessed it was onelaptopperchild.org. I don't know, but I think it's a darn great idea.
Well, maybe Gary, the board guy who's listening, maybe he can do a Google and then call us and tell us what he finds. What do you think?
Okay. I saw something on that a while back. I think they had done an earlier show about it, and
they
said that there were some other companies that were competing to also
Intel
do
has
this.
Intel has a classmate that they're just giving away to these countries, which is good. But the thing of it is that I think what they're trying to do, they're trying to undercut Negroponte because his computer is as the Tucker was to the auto industry. The Tucker was light years ahead of its time. And that's just my humble opinion.
Yeah.
But, you know, opinions are like skin cells. Yeah, that's it, skin cells.
Everybody's got at least one.
That's right. That's the edited... when I used to work in a plant shop, I made up these edited versions of other sayings because there were a lot of ladies that worked in that shop, and I didn't want to, I wanted to get my point across, but did not want to offend any sensibilities.
Well, you're a very nice guy, Danny.
Well, I'm going to get off of here and let other people get on, and I'm hoping to delve into Linux someday. I'm going to get another computer and I've done it before. I'll get into a hobby, and then I'll back out, and then I'll get back in, and I don't know what's wrong with me, but that's how I do it.
I don't think there's anything wrong with you, my dear. I think you're human.
Well, I tell you what, you take care, and I hope you... Oh, one thing about holidays?
Yeah, what about... Yeah.
The funny thing is, I think that all holidays ought to be recognized, but I tell you the crazy thing was, one time I was in an airport, I believe it was last year, and a whole myriad of Christmas cards, but they weren't, from what people told me, they weren't anything to do with the birth of Christ. They were just these, you know, secular things.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a whole bunch of Hanukkah cards.
Oh!
And I think that while that's good, I think that we who celebrate Christmas should not be ashamed or bashful as to why we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just, you know, to me anyway, it's not just a day to buy things or whatnot. And if other people can stand up for their faiths, we can do it in a tactful, loving way and yet get our point across, you know, as we ought.
Yeah, you know, I think part of the problem is that some people have not always made room and space for other people whose faith tradition may differ.
But in that store, though, there were in proportion to, there were a lot more Hanukkah cards.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just the way they stocked it, but I just thought it was a little bit funny. But that's all I'll say about that.
It could also be what was purchased. It could also be that the Hanukkah ones weren't selling, and the other ones were.
But it's I guess the thing is that I don't know. It just seems that there has to be the right
balance.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Well, sure. Yeah.
You know, there's I think that sometimes the majority culture sometimes goes overboard, almost apologizing for, how can I put it correctly, instead of being proud in the right way of who we are, we either get arrogant or we go the other way and we apologize for existing. There has to be a balance.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, though, is when you talk about majority culture.
Yeah.
The interesting thing that
is... It's no longer the majority. It's fragmented. It's not...
Well, worldwide, Christianity is a minority culture.
Well, that's very true. Worldwide, really, Islam is the... Mm-hmm. Islam and Buddhism are very, very big.
And Gary the Board Guy just came in and tapped me on the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
www.laptopgiving.org.
Oh, terrific.
See?
Cool.
We aim to please here.
Oh, great. Well, I'm going to get out of here, and thanks for everything, one idea for Christmas, real quick, and then I'll let you go.
All right.
Any gift-giving thing. Instead of buying something for somebody that they just plain don't need, one could donate time. Doing something for somebody that they can't do, or
that's a great
make something
idea
for somebody,
sure.
Or whatever.
Oh, that's great.
That's a great idea.
Hey,
yeah.
Talk to you later.
All right, Danny. Happy
All right.
holiday.
All right, peace to everybody.
Bye bye. Merry Christmas.
You too.
Bye bye. 866-666-7926. All right, Miss Debbie. So,
yes.
Talk to us a little bit about Miss. Whoa! We have another call.
Oh,
my
boy.
Goodness! You ready? I'm going to push
They're
the button.
I'm so happy you're back.
Here we go. Ready? Go.
Hi, it's Debbie and Marlena, and you're on the air.
Hi, Debbie and Marlena. This is Frank Casey from Albany, New York.
Hey, Frank Casey
hey,
from
Frank.
Albany.
Do I get a prize because I'm number two? Or
yeah, you're usually number one. What happened?
I don't know. Really, what happened was I was sitting here and I knew you were going to have a you were going to be like Johnny Carson and have a fill-in, you know. And I was sitting here and I didn't know who it was, so I came in about 5 minutes after you got on. I'm sitting here. Who is this person? One of these days she's going to say who she is. I wanted to find out who she was before I called in. And by the time I found out, Danny got in. So,
there you go. There you go.
Lose, you lose, you know.
Well, I tell you what, I eventually we're gonna hear more about Debbie, but I so appreciate her being willing to do this, because between the places that I've had to go since being on the ACB board and now I have some surgery coming up, so I won't be here next week, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is just not fair to my listeners. So Debbie, save the day, Frank. So there we go.
Well, I'm sure that, like you, she's going to do a good job. And
thank you.
Now that you're a real celebrity star, politician and everything else.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. You have to have a support staff.
Let me look around and see if there's anybody else in this room, because you're sure not talking about me.
Well, I hope that everything goes good. And I truthfully don't know much about Debbie, but I guess we're going to learn.
That's right. That's
Aww.
Right. That's
we're
right.
Learn about Debbie. And, you know.
So what's going on with you and Kathy up there in Albany?
Well, I'm expecting an early Christmas present for Kathy tomorrow. She knows
yeah.
what it's going to be. Where Kathy had some surgery, and her vision, hopefully only temporarily because of surgery, has diminished a little bit. She needs a magnifier, so I'm getting her a Compact Plus magnifier, and that's coming tomorrow, so she's a happy camper.
Aww.
And, it's her early Christmas toy, so everybody likes toys for Christmas, and that's hers.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Oh, and nice.
We're expecting some mixed precipitation up here, and it's going to get icy, and so hopefully I won't go on my head tomorrow morning or something like that.
Yeah, well, no, we don't want that, Frank. No,
it may
no.
help, but... But it's 20 degrees here at Albany. It's probably about 50 where you are, Marlene.
Actually, no. It's actually cold where I am right now. It may have warmed up to the mid-40s, but we had a little bit of snow.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that shocking?
Well, we have to share it with somebody.
Well, yeah, thanks. Thanks.
Well, I just wanted to close by saying that I still say Merry Christmas to everybody. With no, you know, I have no, if I know somebody who is of the Jewish faith, I will say to them, you know, Happy Hanukkah. But in general, if I'm just, it's Merry Christmas.
Yep.
And, you know, I do it politely. I don't do it to mock anybody else's beliefs, religion. But to me, it has, I was, you know, for 58 years old, for being 58 years old, it's always been Merry Christmas, and it'll always be that way to me.
There you go.
Well, it's funny how many people of other faiths also celebrate Christmas. I mean, even if it's just in the festivity of it, they do. And so I don't, you know, I mean, I imagine that that goes over really well.
Well, as long as everybody's healthy, that's what counts. You know, then we all celebrate.
Yeah.
But I hope you both have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And, Debbie, I wish you the very best of luck. And, Marlena, great success and good luck in your surgery.
Thank you, Frank.
Okay.
Well, and I hope you call in when I'm here. I hope you still call in.
Most definitely.
Good.
Take care.
Okay.
You too.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. So where did you grow up, Miss Debbie?
Well, I guess I like to think I'm still growing, but I guess the growing up part mostly, I started in Connecticut until I was 9, and then I moved to Florida, and I've been in Florida most of my life since. I did go away to graduate school in Georgia, but most of the time I've been in Florida.
Now, did you go to school in Connecticut?
Yes, I went to school until near the end of third grade. I was mainstreamed in nursery school and kindergarten, and then around first grade I started to have an itinerant teacher, and that was someone who came to my classroom maybe a couple times a week and helped me learn Braille and put a lot of my work into Braille, but I was in a regular classroom. And then when we moved to Florida when I was in third grade, I was 9, my parents had gotten divorced, and I went into a regular public school, but I was in a class where we went to regular classes, but we also had a resource room. And I did that through much of high school, and then I went to our residential school. I did it in reverse. I went to our residential school for the last year and a half of high school.
Yeah, another thing we have in common.
Most people went the other way around.
Hey, hang on. We have another caller.
I'm
going to push the button. Are you ready?
Okay.
Go.
Sure. Well, hi there. You're on the air with Marlena and Debbie.
Well, hello, Miss Debbie, and hello, Marlena. This is Jesse from Miami. How are both of you doing?
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, good. How are you?
Pretty good. By the way, Marlena, congratulations on your return. How was your Thanksgiving and your holidays?
Well, thank you very much, Jesse. My Thanksgiving was lovely. I've been a little bit more under the weather than I would like to admit. You know, we're having some surgery on Thursday, and it's not a big deal. And it'll be, you know, starting hopefully Friday, we'll be recovering and, you know, back in the following week, sitting in this chair, hopefully. So that's my plan.
Okay,
how was your Thanksgiving?
Good. I just was with my family and my sister and stuff. Basically, I believe that both Thanksgiving and Christmas, no matter what religion you're in, the most important thing is being with your closest family as much as you can. You know, no matter, I always believe in family values, of course. But no, I spent it okay.
Well, that's good. That's good. Now, Debbie, do you know Jesse, since you both live in Florida?
No, I don't.
Well, there you go.
I don't think so. Have we met Jesse?
No,
I don't believe
it. She doesn't, and what's really bad is, where is it that you live in Florida?
I'm in Tamarack, which is near Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, okay, so you're about maybe, you're going to hate me when I tell you this, but I'm about, what, like about an hour's travel?
Yeah, an hour
away?
Usually from, like, South Miami.
Yeah,
I don't know where in Miami
hour,
you are.
An hour away, an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, I didn't know you were that close.
How about that? Well, I'm actually moving in a couple of weeks. I'm about to move up to Orlando, so I'm in the middle of boxes.
Okay. See, Marlena, now I'm jealous of her. Because, see, she's going to live about 10 minutes away from Disney, MGM.
Yeah,
oh,
she's going to be the new Mickey Mouse. No.
By the way, Marlena, I'm also along with Danny in the wake that I'm also an Apple user.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And you're also a MobileSpeak user.
I use MobileSpeak smartphone.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I put in the new version of 2.0 last week.
Yeah. Hey, Jesse, maybe you can answer my question for me.
What is it?
Okay. We'll just ask everybody to please forgive us here while we digress. You know, I have a flip phone.
Uh-huh.
And I put in the new MobileSpeak 2.0 also. And then with everything going on in my life and blah, 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 and not feeling well and da-da-da, all my excuses, I can't remember how to get it to give me the caller ID while it's ringing without having to open the phone.
Oh, you know what? On a flip phone?
Yeah.
I've never...
There's a way to do it, but I can't remember what it is because I did it.
On mobile... Well, see, the way that my friend does it, and I don't know what cell phone you have, but my friend has a Pantech from Verizon.
Yeah.
And on his phone doesn't have a button on the outside.
Yeah, mine does.
Okay.
See, I stumped you too.
One because,
yeah. Well,
see, I know that on the blackjack, which is the one that I have, I just hit home.
Yeah. Yeah, but
if I
do that, it answers the phone. And, you know, when I'm trying to avoid Debbie, you know what I mean? I got to know who's
calling. Oh, man.
Well, that's no worries. I just thought you might know.
No. I mean, it's an interesting question.
Yeah.
And I really hope that someone like either Earl or Kelly
would
be able to call in because, I mean, I would love to deal with a flip phone because I've seen only one and it was my friend's.
Yeah, well, I have the, what do I have?
What
is
3125?
Yes.
Sweet.
And I love it. Yeah.
I think that's the one that Jeff got, right?
Yep, he got it because I like it. He said, what's your phone?
As a matter of fact, I don't know what, as a matter of fact, I'm getting me a neat little piece of equipment on Christmas Day, and many people who might hear this when I mention this, they might say, oh, he can do that and he's blind? I'm actually getting me, Marlena, you ever heard of something called the PSP?
Nope.
Okay. It's basically Sony's answer to Nintendo's DS system, which is basically a portable gaming device.
Well, you'll have to call us up and tell us all about it.
Oh,
and
I will.
How it works.
I will. And one thing that I like about it, and you're going to love this, Marlena.
Yeah?
It has, you can actually play, they actually sell movies for this. You can buy Pirates of the Caribbean for
holy moly.
And they come on little miniature discs.
Oh.
But I'll let you guys know how it goes if I get one. I know a friend of mine that has one, so I've had some experience with it.
Wow.
I also got
that eats a lot of battery life.
Yeah.
No, believe it or not, the new one that they came out with now, because they just came out with a new line called the PSP Slim, constant, I think it's about 24 hours of battery.
Wow.
24 hours of battery. Because what it does is it loads the game. What it needs is it loads the chunks of data into RAM. And then as it needs
it siphons it off of the CD. That makes sense. Yeah.
But, no, I was calling to see how everything was, Marlena, to congratulate you on your return.
Thank you.
I hope a safe and speedy recovery.
Oh, thank you. It will be, I'm sure. But, you know, Debbie will be such a star that you won't even know I'm gone.
Oh, I doubt that now. I'm not going to take your place.
She'll do good.
She will do good. Now, you promised me you'll listen into her next week, Jesse.
I usually listen when I can.
As a matter of fact,
if I'm on the road, if my sister's with me, I'll just tell her to put up ACB radio on her iPhone.
There you go.
And yes, my sister, the only reason she can use an iPhone is because she's sighted.
There you go.
And I've looked at it, you guys.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for it not being usable for the blind, I would say that it is a really, really, really neat device.
Oh, it's a cool device, but it's like a quiet car, you know? I hate the darn thing because it's not good for blind people.
No, it's not. I know how to make it accessible, but Apple doesn't want to listen to me because I've already told them that all that they got to do is make a miniature version of VoiceOver for it.
Yeah.
The only thing is would be adapting it to that type of screen.
Well, but the Code Factory people have already got that kind of technology going on the iPacks and stuff.
Yeah, they've adapted it, but here's the problem. How are you going to adapt, Marlena, a system... And I'll let you go after I tell you this, by the way. But how are you going to adapt a system where basically what Apple has done is almost everything on that phone is gesture-based.
Right, right.
If you want to zoom in, you scroll upwards.
Yep.
I mean, to erase, you simply go to the letter and you start rubbing it like an erase. It's really awkward.
Yeah, it's a weird phone.
Fun. I mean, I use a Mac every day.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I'm listening to you now through iTunes because you guys are on iTunes.
I know. Isn't that fun?
Wow.
And basically, I've been not forcing people over to the Mac, but every time I show people the Mac, they're like, "Oh, dude, I gotta get me one. How much are they?" I mean. But, you know, one day, Marlena, probably, I mean, I don't know, I might come on your show if there's enough interest, and I'll talk to you guys a little bit more about the Mac, because I think that blind people have to know that there's other alternatives out there besides Windows, especially if they do not want to get into, you know, maintenance agreements and stuff like that. Everything just comes out of the box, turn it on, and bam, you're up and running basically within seconds.
Well, that sounds like a good idea to me, Mr. Jesse.
Maybe
we'll work that out in the new year.
Sure.
All right.
Sure. Anyways, I'll try to talk to you before then, but I'll try to talk to you before Christmas, but if not, have a merry Christmas and a safe new year, okay?
Thank you. You too.
Same to you.
Okay, you're welcome. And say hi to your doggie and to Gary for me, Marlena.
I'll do that.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Jesse.
All right, see you later, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
866-666-7926. So when you were growing up as a kid, as you progressed through your life, how did you figure out, or when did you figure out that you were somehow different from other kids around you?
I think I always felt different. I always knew I was different, and I don't think that I always liked it. I remember one time a kid making fun of me and saying, you are blind. And I said, don't call me names I can't see.
With that, we have another call. Let's bring in the caller. Hi there. You're with Marlena and Debbie. Who's this?
Hi, This is Pam in Visalia, California.
Hello, Pam.
Hey, Pam.
Hi, Deb and
good
Dave
to
and
hear
yes, I am going to send you a nice email. I did receive one from you about a month ago, a couple months ago.
Finally.
Now, and I just haven't sat in the, gotten a chance to sit down and write.
Well, it's
David
good to hear your voice.
The same thing because, well, our provider very ceremoniously, unceremoniously dumped your response a couple of weeks ago into the spam folder, and he just found it.
Oh, how funny.
So he's going to have to
God.
Take ACB request at ACB Radio out of the, put it in the do not spam, whatever.
Oh, boy.
So we both have emails coming
happen.
To you.
Well, that's nice. It's great to hear your voice. It's great to be, you know, I think without you and Dave around, I think I'd start to feel like some of the ACB family was missing or something. You know, you two are just major to this community.
We enjoy it. We enjoy it. We enjoy talking to you and Marlene and everybody.
Aww.
And we're going to enjoy hearing you when Marlena is not able to be here. He's giving me a hard
sweet.
Time. Shut up.
See, Debbie, see, I'm not the only one that says, shut up.
That's right.
Fight him, Sherry. Cat.
Oh.
Yeah, kill him, cat.
Oh.
Anyway,
yeah, it was
well,
real special.
You know, it's interesting, you and I'm definitely going to want to hear what you had to say. I, of course, grew up in Miami. And it has so changed. I've been away since 78.
Oh,
and
yes.
I remember when I was a little kiddo, my parents, they used to spell in front of me. She's B-L-I-N-D. So one day I just said, what's that? And Mom tried to say, I'm going to go eat a dish of blind. No, 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 that's not what it means. I was like four. And so we had to, blind isn't something you eat. And then she kind of had to think what she was telling me. And then it became fascinating to me, especially since I had been blinded in an automobile accident when I was 4 months old. Like, you mean I used to see with my eyes? Of course, I couldn't see much with my eyes, but I didn't know that part. The detail, I wasn't too detail-oriented back then. But that fascinated me. And for the next, I don't know, few weeks, from I can still remember saying, can you see with your eyes? Can they see with their eyes? It must have driven people nuts. But it
That's
was fascinating
interesting.
To me.
This is an interesting topic, I think, about when people first discovered themselves as blind people and what that meant. And I can share a little story. You know, they always said the word blind around me, but I always thought it was something to be really proud of. I didn't know what it meant. And like people, my mom would take me downtown, you know, and people would say, oh, she's blind. And I thought that was like, oh my God, she's the Pope, you know.
You didn't get the awe factor.
I just thought it was so one day I heard this music going and I said, and I was about four, and I said, mommy, what? And I remember this like it was yesterday. I said, mommy, what's that? She said, oh, that's a blind man, and he's selling pencils. Well, I started jumping up and down and getting all excited. I said, Mommy, I want to go meet the blind man. So she said, okay, I'll give you a dime, which was a lot of money back then. I'll give you a dime. You can put it in his cup, but you can't take a pencil. You don't need the pencil. So I said, okay. So I went over and I remember I was feeling the man's hand and I kept jumping up and down and saying, hi, I'm blind. So I put the little dime in the guy's cup and I was just like a little monkey just leaping up and down. And so we got home and I kept thinking, I'm blind. I'm blind. I know what I'm going to do. So I went to my toy box, and I got my little tin coffee pot, and I got all the chalk and the crayons and everything I could find that looked like pencils, and I had a little wind-up jack-in-the-box music box, and I took it downstairs to the street corner, and I started going, I'm blind! And I was so proud of myself selling pencils.
Oh, no!
And my poor mother, she came running down the stairs, and of course she gave me a little tap on the bum, you know, and she kept saying, you'll never sell pencils! You'll never sell pencils! And I kept crying, going, but I'm blind! I'm blind!
No. Back about 24, and I went with my aunt and cousins to Colonial Petersburg. They live right near Petersburg, Virginia, which is one of the great sites of the Civil War. And one of the places they had was they called the Settler's Store, which was a replica of where people used to buy their supplies. And I became very fascinated with this cup. So you know where this is going. So I wanted to buy that. Oh, I liked it, and I was picking it up, and I was looking at it, and I was, you know, it's a tin cup. And I guess people used to drink their hot whatever, or their water or their milk out of that thing when they were working. Well, and when they're out when the soldiers probably took it into battle, and I'm doing all this. Well, finally, my aunt, she didn't exactly try to talk me out of buying the cup. I was not with my folks. My mother and dad, I was in Virginia visiting, and my parents were back in Florida. So that night, and of course, I am an adult, and my aunt said, Pam, you know, you might not want to let your mother see that cup. Yes. Just like a blind beggar. Thank you for telling me.
Oh,
of course,
my
we all got a good
gosh.
Laugh out of it.
Oh my gosh!
I just stuck in the kitchen cabinet, and I put my laundry change in there.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Oh my gosh! I won't hog it. Merry Christmas, Happy Thanksgiving. We always have around here. We didn't bring any tamales down to. Visit Dave's relatives in Southern California, but we do have quite a Mexican population here.
Oh,
and
in Visalia.
Christmas time and pretty much all year, some people make and sell tamales, which is a big...
Oh, yummo.
Yes. And we can pretty much buy them anytime we like them, but often when we go down to visit the relatives, we'll bring them down because we didn't buy them at Costco, but they're not... You know, these are the authentic.
Yeah, right.
So
anyway, and we'll be getting back in touch with you, Deb.
Well, I look forward to
back, Marlena, and hope you're feeling better.
Well, I will be.
Yeah, we missed the first part of the show. In fact, I thought, now who is that? Is that Debbie? And sure enough, when Danny.
Well, I look forward to speaking with you both soon.
Take care.
Okay,
you
Pam.
Too.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. 866-667-9226. Yeah, it is kind of interesting, isn't it, when we sort of first discover, you know, that we're blind and how the differences in how people might react to that.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can remember also meeting other children who were blind, and some, you know, I remember hearing that some were half blind, and I thought, what's a half blind?
Yeah.
It's really strange to try to put that together.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people ask me, how did you get to be so independent? And, you know, or they'll say, you're so independent. And I always say, you know, I somehow learned very early that if I didn't live my life, someone would live it for me.
Exactly.
And I think that was a very early lesson that came to me that I better, you know, take a hold of my life or I would just end up feeling very smothered.
Boy, I love that. If I don't live my life, someone will live it for me. We have another caller, and I'll let you welcome them in. But before I push the button, the next topic I want to go to, we're getting into philosophy here, but this is cool. I want to get your reaction after our caller here on what you think when people say, oh, I don't think of you as being blind. So, welcome in,
okay.
Our caller. Ready? Go.
Well, hi there, caller. You're on the show with Marlena and Debbie. Hi.
George Wurzel here.
Hey, George.
Hi there.
Can you speak up a wee bit?
I certainly could.
There you go. That's better. That's that voice I know and love. How you doing?
Absolutely wonderful, although the weather is trying to pretend it's wintertime in Michigan today.
Yeah, well, it's trying to pretend it's Michigan in Seattle, so...
Oh, it's still very much Florida here.
I have to tell you a little bit about the blind beggar thing, because there was a downtown Detroit in front of the David Whitney building, which was where my eye doctor was when I was a kid. There was a blind beggar there on the corner, and just never paid too much attention to it. But later, when I started working downtown Detroit, this same gentleman was still working on that same corner, and I got to know him kind of cursory, because I, you know, walked through there a lot and used to stop and shoot the bull with him now and then. And I came to the conclusion that being a blind beggar is not an easy job.
No.
This guy, I mean, you have to be pretty extroverted,
yeah,
you know, to be one. And you have to, you put up with a huge amount of crap.
Sure.
You got to be really persistent about it. And the other thing I figured out is, once I figured out where he lived, he must have made some pretty good change out of that cop.
And how much do you think he reported to the IRS? Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Now, Debbie, one thing you should know about George, well, there's lots you should know about George, because he's a very cool dude, as the kids say. But George is a contractor, and I don't mean a trainer contractor. I mean a builder contractor. And I had George on the show one night, and there are very few blind people that I sort of walk away shaking my head and going, wow, how the heck did they do that? But I hung up from having George on the show, and I looked at Gary and I said, darn, where was he when we were remodeling our house?
That's
so
great.
How's business going, George? Are you still doing that? And still, I know you're still working with Camp T.
Yep, that's my big thing. I'm also in the midst of making... I almost flat refused to buy Christmas presents, so I make all the things that I always give away every year.
Oh, how cool is that?
I'm in the middle of doing that, which is always fun.
So can we get an idea of some of the things you're making?
Well, I bought some antique reproduction spice grinders this year.
Ooh.
So I'm giving away some spice grinders.
Oh, wow.
And I found some really cool, two different sizes. One of them that's small enough that you can actually use as like a pepper grinder on your table, then another medium-sized one that you would use in your kitchen. And then I found some really nice antique reproduction coffee grinders.
Oh, man.
Five different things going there.
Oh,
and then,
man.
Wow.
I came across a couple pieces of ivory that were handles off of their hooks that people used to use to tighten their shoes up with a long time ago.
Yeah.
Trying to think of the correct name.
Like button hooks?
Yeah, well, yeah, button hook kind of
thing.
But these were ones that the hook part got broke off of, so I ended up with ivory handles. So I'm making a couple round rosewood frames with mirrors in them like you would use for a compact mirror, only just a little bit bigger.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
On them.
Wow.
And that's...
George, you're going to have all our listeners wanting to know how to get on your Christmas list
here.
You're not careful.
Nice stuff.
Now, is Camp T doing anything special at the holiday? And
We just weekend before last had our, what we call our wassailing weekend.
Yeah.
We had about 25 people there.
Yeah.
And we made cookies and all kinds of Christmassy things from scratch, and then we went to the local retirement home and sang carols and gave cookies away to those people.
Oh, that's cool.
And then we came back and we produced a complete Christmas dinner with turkey and dressing and stuffing, or Thanksgiving dinner, depending on your, and apple pies and pecan pies and pumpkin pies, and all the kids participated in the total manufacturing of a meal that was probably didn't need to eat for 2 weeks afterwards.
Wow, that is so cool.
Sounds wonderful.
Then we had a little education session on wrapping presents, taught everybody how to wrap presents.
Boy, I wish I'd gone to that.
And everybody had to, you know, bring a gift for a gift exchange. Then you learned how to wrap that, plus we wrapped some other stuff. And then we had the proverbial gift exchange thing where if you don't like the gift that you have, if someone else gets something you like better, you get to say, I want that. And,
Chinese gift exchange.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard it called.
Gut splitting. I mean, laughing so hard.
Well, now let me ask you a question, George. One of the things that I look for every year when I am wrapping presents, and everybody just gives me this blank-eyed look. I mean, I'm assuming that's what it is because they don't speak, so therefore. I'm looking for when you get a present wrapped in the store, they have a dispenser for the wrapping paper, and they pull it out and they rip it off.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm looking for one of those because cutting in a straight line for me is a huge issue. So what are your great words of wisdom on either do those things exist or how to cut in a straight line? I don't care. I'll take anything.
The how to cut in a straight line is incredibly simple.
Okay, go for it.
Go to your local college campus and go in and buy where they sell the stuff for their drafting classes.
Yeah.
And buy what's called a T-square.
Yeah.
And it's looks like the capital T.
Right.
Okay. And it has the long part of the T is where the ruler is on it. But you really don't care about that aspect of it. But the crossbar part of the T hangs down below that bar.
Right.
And you can take and put that against the side of a table.
Okay.
And pull your wrapping paper across the table, and then you can take a razor knife and follow alongside that T-square. And if you keep the edge of your wrapping paper parallel with the edge of the table, then you cut straight across. Now, you have to pick a surface or put something underneath it, you know, a piece of cardboard or something underneath it, so when you cut across, you don't put all those cross lines into your table.
Yeah.
That's an incredibly easy way to cut nice straight. And there's all kinds of razor knives and razor blades around on the market so you can look through them and find the kind that you're the most comfortable using.
Well,
there's ones that, you know, where the knife sticks out a lot. There's ones where the knife just barely sticks out.
There's
a big variety of that. So you just have to pick the one that, you know, you feel the most comfortable using.
I never thought about a T-square. I do know what T-square is.
Yeah.
But I never thought about one. That is worth trying. I'll let you know how it works out.
Michael's, I think I saw T-squares one day, for like, $4, because with everybody doing all the scrapbook stuff,
But how come nobody makes what I want?
If you have to go to a commercial paper supply house.
I did, and they sent me the wrong thing.
Okay.
They didn't know what I was talking about.
Yeah, and what you want is, a roll paper dispenser.
Yeah.
I mean, every paper supply house in the world sells those.
Yeah, and it's they even use them in, like, butcher shops,
correct,
you know, with the brown paper in them.
Yep.
That's all I want, you know, but. Oh, well. I'll keep looking. I'll keep looking.
I like to, sometimes buy the paper in sheets, but then there's not enough.
Yeah, and it's more expensive.
Sometimes, that's true.
Yeah.
We also took, and with a bunch of the kids, and we had a bunch of I don't know where they came from, a bunch of old stencils of Christmas trees and wreaths and different things. And we taught kids how to, you know, glitter and make their own paper by putting the glue inside the stencil and throwing the glitter down on it.
Oh, that's neat.
And then we had some spray tempera paints that we sprayed so that they could, you know, put the tree where they wanted and the wreath where they wanted. And the cool thing about that when you do that is that then pretty much it becomes tactile. You can tell the difference because we were just using plain old everyday white butcher paper.
Yeah.
And once you put that on there, you could always feel where you had painted. So then you knew where your designs were in that, and you could arrange it on the package.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
great.
A great idea. George is such a wealth of how-to resolutions.
I'm the Martha Stewart of blind tricks.
You are.
Hey, I love it.
That's a
we
good...
We need to have another show of George.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Someone has asked me one time, I spent a small stint of time, like 5 years, working in a upper-end bakery, artisan bakery. And we were at a show one time, and I just happened to be with somebody who went to a decorating class, and it was all about using fondant icings, rolled fondant cake icings. And I was really excited about it because that was the first time I ever figured out that I could decorate a cake. And so they're doing this whole display, and the guy that was running this demo for this thing, he says, "This is so easy. I think George could even decorate a cake." And he was just being a smartass. I said, "I'm sure I can." So I walked in, and you roll. It's exactly like making pie dough. You roll fondant icing, you work it up in your hands and get it the right consistency. Then you put it down on a table, and you lightly powder sugar the table, and you take a rolling pin, and you roll it out. And then you take it and just flop it over the cake, and then very softly with your hands take and form it around the edge of the cake. And it's stretchy, so it'll form right down to the sides and everything.
Oh, my gosh.
And then they have, here again, they have a whole bunch of stencils that people use for doing this stuff, and crimpers and different things. And like you work marzipan. And so I went around the outside with a crimper, and I put this pretty little border down at the bottom of it. Then I grabbed the stencil and put happy birthday stencil, put it down there, put some icing on, swiped it across, picked the stencil up, and so there you go. And the guy couldn't say a word. He was totally...
I love it.
That's being a smart aleck, and I walk up there and decorate
for you.
I think that is so cool. That's something I've always wanted to do is decorate a cake. Always.
Yeah, well, that's the perfect thing because, you know, you use buttercream icings or you can't touch them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you leave your fingerprints. And if the gold fondant, you can do that perfectly as a blind person.
What does that taste like, that fondant?
Rolled fondant is, unless you add a little bit of vanilla or something to it or work it in it or almond extract, it has absolutely zero taste. It just has no flavor unless you put something in it.
You could make it have a vanilla-y flavor.
Absolutely.
Vanilla-y flavor.
Yep, you can add vanilla to it. You can add mint to it. You can add almond to it. I mean, any extract that you can think of, you can add to it.
And where do you buy it?
You'll have to buy it from, you know, a bakery supply, you know, upper end. If you have a specialty bakery house, you know, in your town, they certainly sell it on the King Arthur.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Flour.
Oh
company.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sells it on their site.
Huh.
Yep.
Well, you got to have your cake and eat it too.
Absolutely.
Well, George, I hope you have a Merry Christmas, and I'm going to try your wrapping technique.
Okay.
You're cutting. I don't have any trouble wrapping. I wrap pretty well. It's the doggone cutting that I, you know, so I always have miles more paper than I need because then I try to fold that horrible looking edge in so that nobody will see it. And then, oh, gosh, you know what I mean. So I'm going to try what you say and see what happens.
T-square and just if you're going to do it a lot, you know, go to the local, you know, Lowe's or whatever and buy yourself just an old piece of what I call hardboard or masonite.
Yeah, yeah.
It's real tough stuff.
Yeah.
So then you got a nice square edge to work off of, and then you don't cut up your pretty table.
Yeah.
And in an instant, you can become an instant paper cutter.
Well, I'm going to give it a shot.
Okay, thank you guys. Have a great time. Merry Christmas to y'all, and talk to you soon.
Nice to talk with you.
Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. It's about 2 minutes past the hour here on the Marlena program. We're a little bit late with a couple of things, so if we can get the computer to cooperate, why we...
This program is brought to you by HumanWare, advocates for Braille literacy and manufacturers of the Braille Note M-Power. For more information on the Braille Note and other fine HumanWare products, visit them on the web at www.humanware.com or call HumanWare at 1-800-722-3393.
You're listening to ACB Radio Mainstream. Call Marlena now at 1-866-666-7926. That's toll free, 1-866-666-7926.
Hi, this is Marlena. Have you been listening to ACB Radio for a while and wonder how you can help? Well, there's a Donate to ACB Radio link now available from the main page at www.acbradio.org. And thank you so much for listening to ACB Radio, where your listening is our business.
That's right. Your listening is our business. Right, Debbie?
That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, we have another call who is listening, another caller who is listening, and let's bring them on in. Are you ready? I'll push the button. Debbie, go.
Hi there. You're on the air with Debbie
and
Marlena.
Putting Debbie on.
No, we're putting you on. You're on.
I'm sorry. This is Lynn.
Lynn
and Shirley.
Oh, hi, Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
Okay. I've got a device here. It's called a gift wrap cutter.
Tell us about that.
It's about 32 inches long, which is longer than a standard roll of gift wrap paper. You set the gift wrap paper on the roll. It has a sort of like a curved well for that, and then it has a slit along it, and they give you a little razor knife type like thing that is sort of protected, that you just move along this channel, and once you move it along the channel, it cuts a straight line through your gift wrap paper.
Where'd you get it?
I think I got it at our local Meijer store, which is a discount food store, etc. They have a lot of stuff. Just a second. It's called Gift Wrap Cutter.
Okay.
It's made by a company called Innovent.USA out of Palo Alto, California.
All right, Gary the board guy, get on this now.
Go on to Google.
Get
Innovent,
on.
Sir.
Model G10-00.
Now, how do you spell Innovent?
Innovent. And then .us.
So that's probably their website, www.innovent.us.
Yeah.
Let's see, www.innovent.us. Let's see what happens. Oh, we've never been quite this interactive before on the Marlena program. Well, let's see. Oh, let's see. What am I going to get here? So far, nothing. So we'll see what happens. Innovent. So essentially here we are. Let's see. Okay, let's see. It says the Innovent family. Ream cutters. Yeah, this is it.
Ooh, there you go.
There you go. What you've always wanted in, let me read my Braille instead of trying to do the speech. What you've always wanted in a dispenser, sharp, precise cut, versatility. Whoa, I like versatility.
That's not the right one, though, probably.
Yeah, but it's probably on here. I mean, this
yeah,
is just their new thing.
Probably.
Yeah, yeah. This elegant model allows you to create your own system, stack multiple cuts, blah, 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 blah. But I bet you that that's...
You could do a search for that
yeah,
gift wrap.
Yeah, right here on this very site. Yeah.
Wow, how about that?
Hey, my long search may be over.
See, look at these great listeners.
I know. What
they come up with so much good information.
I mean,
and
for sighted people, they sell scissors with a laser that points out to make a straight line, but that isn't going to help a blind person.
Yeah, yeah. Now I'm looking at, they sell counter rolls, counter roll cutters, designed for cutting boxes, rolls available in six widths from 8 inches, shown above. to 40 inches. Wow, very cool. I'm going to take a look at this here website and after I get off the air. And here it is. It says, gift wrap cutter, a unique concept that makes gift wrap cutting easy. Cuts cello, too. I don't know what cello is. I guess it's that.
Cello is
cellophane?
Sort of like plastic.
Okay.
Cellophane?
Yeah, could be. So I'll click the Learn More link, and I'll tell you if I learn anymore. Now, Lynn, I know that in your house, you guys celebrate Hanukkah. Is that right?
That's correct.
So tell us about that. Talk to us about what a Hanukkah celebration is and when it begins and some of those faith traditions.
Well, Hanukkah moves around because it's based on the lunar calendar. It's not based on the Gregorian calendar. This year...
Whoop, Lynn? Are you there?
Yes, I'm
still
here.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
The first night of Hanukkah will be the 4th of this month.
The 4th of December?
Yes.
Well, that's Tuesday.
Yes.
Oh, happy Hanukkah.
It goes for 8 nights.
Now, why does it go for 8 nights?
Because it goes back to the story of the desecration of the temple when they ran out of oil for the lamp. And they supposedly, it took them 8 days to make new oil, and they only had enough. They brought in, here, let me just have Shirley tell you more.
Okay.
They supposedly brought in oil or something like that that was supposed to last for 1 day. They
uh-huh.
Found them up, and it supposedly burned for 8 days. That's
Wow.
And I'm probably messing it up somewhat because it's been a while since I've read it, but
yeah.
It's kind of based loosely on that.
So how do you guys celebrate it? What is typical for you?
Well, typical for us, you know, we of course exchange gifts with each other. We don't, unfortunately, have a whole lot of other people to do anything with. Occasionally we'll do something, you know, with members of my family, but other than that, it's pretty much, you know, just each other. And we actually have a menorah. Now, the one we have, well, the menorah is the candle holder, you know, that you put the candles in
uh-huh.
for Hanukkah.
Uh-huh.
And you're supposed to light, you have one main candle that's supposed to be the one that lights the other candle.
And that in the menorah has a star below it.
Mm-hmm. And the main candle, you're supposed to light that every night, and then you're supposed to light the other candles with it. And the first night you light one candle. Second night you would light two candles with it, and you always have that one main candle. Now, we actually have an electric menorah that my parents gave us, and it plugs in, so I don't have to light the candles.
Mm-hmm.
And it plugs in, and then it has little light bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, you know, you turn the, you know, the light bulbs that you want to, you know, come on each night, so that you have how many ever of them that you want. And then we also have, we usually have, you know, potato pancakes.
Oh, I love those. Those are called latkes, mm-hmm. aren't they?
Yeah.
I love latkes.
And sometimes we'll go, you know, like a lot of times they'll have some things in the area, like, at the synagogue, they usually do something they call a Hanukkah happening. They'll have, like, a lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another group that we've been going to some things with recently, that we may go. It's a kind of more like a senior citizens group, you know, some of the older people.
Mm-hmm.
And that we've been going out to some, they've been doing some dine out things and things like that. They're going to be having a Hanukkah party, and we may go to that this year. We haven't made reservations yet, but we're kind of thinking about it.
Well, that's very cool. When I was a child, and I might have told you this before, Shirley, but when I was a child in the fifth grade, like Debbie, I attended a class where I had a resource room, a resource teacher.
Oh, I did that too.
And one of the children who was a couple of years behind me was Jewish. And so Barbara said, we always talk about Christmas. I'd like to talk about Hanukkah. And so we little blind kids put on a Hanukkah play for the whole school.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and it was fun. And I learned about the dreidel with the little top. And we had to sing a song about the spinning dreidel.
Oh, yeah.
And I learned about Hanukkah gelt.
Oh,
the chocolate money.
And you can always get chocolate Hanukkah gelt, too.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I loved the Hanukkah gelt.
Oh, sure.
And I learned about latkes. And
gelt, for people who don't know it, is actually the word for money.
And
gelt,
yeah. And I learned about Judah and the Maccabees, and
mm-hmm.
it was the coolest, you know, just something that has always stuck with me, you know. I even remember one of the prayers that we learned to sing, the Baruch Atah Adonai.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I always kind of like to talk about other people's faith traditions around this time of year, too, because
sure.
It's more than just Christianity, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, it is
true.
To me.
That's true. And where Debbie lives in particular, like in Florida, you'll see a lot more up in the stores, you know, as far as, you know, things for Hanukkah and so on and so forth. You'll see a lot more decorations.
Yeah.
Than you'll see in this part of the country.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, my dear.
Well, thank you. You guys have a real good holiday, and you know, whatever you're celebrating, and I'll wish the same to everybody else, and all of you have a good holiday season.
Well, happy Hanukkah to you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate people keeping us in mind as well.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
If you decide to get that little thing Lynn told you about, you'll have to let us know if it works for you.
I'm going to read about it right now. I'm sitting on the information.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Great.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right.
Bye-bye.
Before we take the next call, I'll read about this. It says, gift wrap cutter. It says, the gift wrap cutter from Innovent, spelled Innovent, makes gift wrapping as much fun as opening your presents. I'm not sure about that, but its unique design ensures a clean, straight cut every time in one simple swoop! Exclamation point. Easy for the whole family. The gift wrap cutter is kid safe. That means I'll be safe with it. And and works for right or left-handed users. It says it's available in three colors: red, green, and white. I want a red one. or by special order. And then it says that it folds in half for easy storage, and it further says that the knife stores securely in the tray. So if anybody wants to look at it, it's at Innovent, Innovent.us. I don't know how much it costs yet. I haven't got that far, so there you go. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? And here's instructions for it. I won't read all that, but it pop the paper in the tray, run the knife along the channel, you know, blah, 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 blah. So, Debbie, what's one of your Christmas traditions? Not that I don't already know, but I know some of them.
Well, actually, one of mine is things that I make. And I don't always make them every year, but I have many memories of and years that I have made lots of different things to eat. Cookies and Chex Mix and cheese logs. And somebody reminded me yesterday about the meatballs that I often make at Christmas time. And I don't know why, because they're good any time of the year, but she always remembered. And I have this very unique way that I make them with ground beef, but in that ground beef goes some blue cheese and some sesame seeds, in addition to breadcrumbs and spices and all that. And then I make a sauce out of grape jelly and chili sauce and pineapple chunks. So the juice of the pineapple chunks goes in there too. And it's just, it's always a hit.
Wow.
It's just, and I bake them. I don't fry them. I bake them and I put them in the crock pot with the sauce. And people go nuts.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy.
I wish I could send you some of them.
I wish you could, too.
But, you know, my other favorite thing about the holidays is the music. And I was just thinking with Shirley and Lynn, I was wondering if, you know, Jewish people are ever offended by how much Christmas music some of us play. And with me, and I don't mean to offend any Christians here, with me, it's the spirit of festivity more than what it says.
Mm-hmm.
It's the beauty of the music,
mm-hmm,
and the melodies, the bells, the harmonies. It's just gorgeous music. And I never mean to offend anyone of any faith when I play it, but I adore it. I adore Christmas music.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. But you know what? I'm gonna deviate here, if you will allow me to, co-host of mine. And actually, I'm pushing the buttons. You don't have a choice. Nanny, nanny, poo, poo.
This is true.
This is true.
Well, you always did know how to push more buttons.
Yeah. I'm just a great button pusher from way back. But I'm gonna deviate, do something I rarely do on my show.
Hanukkah, Yontes Hashener, a lustiger, a freilicher, niton, noch a zeiner, alle Nacht in Redel spielen mir, so die Käse Latkes essen mir, geschwinde sind Kinder, die Hanike Lichter davon, lass mir alle singen, lass mir alle springen und lass mir alle tanzen in Korn. Lo mir alle singen und lo mir alle springen und lo mir alle tanzen in Korn. Hanukkah, oh Hanukkah, come light the menorah. Let's have a party, we'll all dance the hora. Gather round the table, we'll give you a treat. Dreidels to play with, a latkes to eat. And while we are playing, the candles are burning low. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. They shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. Yemei HaChanukah, Chanukat Migdashenu, Vigilu v'Simcha, Memalim et Libenu, Laila v'Yom Svivoneinu Yisov, Suganiyot, Nochal Bamlarot, Ha'iru, Adliku, Nerot Chanukah Rahabim, Al HaNisim ve'Al HaNiflaot, Asher Cholelu HaMakabim. Al hanisim ve'al hanifla'ot asher cholelu ha'makabim. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago.
Happy Hanukkah to all of our Jewish listeners, and especially to Lynn and Shirley. That was Theodore Bikel. And
that
Hanukkah,
was very
Hanukkah.
Nice.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that was nice of you to do that.
Well, I don't know that it was nice of me, but I liked the song, and I decided to play it. So let's talk about you a little bit more. Now we've got you. You went to the residential school for the last year and a half of your education before college, which I did the same thing.
Right.
I didn't even know that about you. And
how about that?
How did you feel transferring over from the public school into the residential setting? And why did you do it?
I did it partly because I knew that there was a lot more music, and I wanted to sing more and be around more music people. I also wanted to get out of the house. I was just ready to do that. But I also think if it wasn't for the fact that I had gone there one summer and liked it, I don't think I would have done it. Mm. And I think that even though I wanted to do it in some ways, there were times that I felt freer, and then there were other times that I guess I saw myself through the eyes of ignorant, sighted people and felt ashamed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think I really waffled with both.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly, though, I think I got into living more independently than I was able to always live in public school. I mean, I could be more involved with other kids and more involved in, you know, doing things in my life than I could, you know, although I was raised to, you know, do household chores and be active, and I always still took part in phys ed and recess and all that kind of stuff. You know, and home ec in classes, and even in public school.
Mm-hmm.
So,
we have another call, but I'm just going to quickly say one of the things that I enjoyed about my transition was that I could get into trouble along with everybody else and and pass notes. And I mean, I was really bad. Okay, we have a call. Are you ready? I'm going to push the button right now.
I mean, what do you mean? You didn't get in trouble in the regular school? Gee, wait.
No, I didn't get in trouble in the regular school. It was harder to get in trouble there.
Oh, well.
Well, yeah.
I didn't seem to have any problem with that. Anyway, are you taking requests? First of all, this is Dave. Okay, we got that out of the way.
Yeah, we got that out of the way.
Right. Well, I thought it was Dave because I could hear Pam laughing in the background.
Well, see, Debbie, the thing about Dave, he never waits for you to welcome him in. He's like, yeah, come on, here I am, let me talk.
All right, I'll stop and you can welcome me.
No, forget it, we're never going to welcome you again.
No, I want a welcome.
Welcome, Dave. I will welcome you. Welcome, Dave. Even if she won't. See? You can like me better now.
Nanny, nanny, poo, poo.
This call has gotten off to a worse start than I thought.
I know. This sounds like Tech This. You know, they wander all over the place, you know? I love that show.
Well, anyway.
What do you want? What's your request?
Tom Lehrer, Hanukkah in Santa Monica.
Oh, I don't have it.
Oh, you don't?
No.
I'm spending Hanukkah in Santa Monica, lighting candles, wearing sandals, lighting candles in the sand. I spent Shabbos in East St. Louis, and it goes on and on and on and on.
No, I wish I did have it.
Oh,
that sounds
well, I can probably send it to you.
Don't talk about that.
Don't talk about
no.
What?
Right, nothing.
Don't talk about sending.
No, you. Don't.
Oh.
No.
Oh, we don't.
Oh. Excuse
yeah.
me. I'm sorry. I was,
No. We don't do that.
I know. The first thing you're talking about blind. You know, knowing you were blind and
yes.
stuff like that. When I was, my parents were selling a house, and this is in Long Island, and I remember some kids talking about. How they kept walking, how they kept talking about walking in my sleep, and they said, "You're asleep." And I'm not asleep. You know, I couldn't figure that one out for years. I couldn't figure that out. They said, "Well, you're asleep." No, I'm not. No, I'm awake. And, I couldn't figure that out. Obviously, they were talking about, you know,
yeah.
the eyes being closed.
Yeah.
I used to do some interesting things when I was little. My parents would, for whatever reason, they'd leave us in the car when they go into the store. Well, I got bored on our 1956 DeSoto, so I just hop out of that car and hop into the one next door.
Oh, no.
Because, well, it was there, and I wanted to see what it was like, you know.
Sure, why not?
And when that was done, I'd hop around to the other side of the car and jump in the other one. I mean,
oh,
I still enjoy
funny.
Cars to this very day. And
oh.
I really do. It's just a... something that I started when I was that young. I doubt that a lot of sighted parents of sighted children would have the trouble with their kids hopping in and out of other people's cars.
Now, that's interesting.
I don't remember actually getting caught at it. The only thing I remember is one time, and I'm guessing that this had to be an older vehicle because of the way it had a pull-down door handle. And I was like 5 years old. I hadn't learned to walk very long. And it had a pistol, the pistol grip handbrake, emergency brake on it, and I released it. And I just walked down the driveway with the car. And,
oh, my gosh.
I remember my mother crying, I think, in the other view. I don't remember anything else about this, but I think of incidents like this. But then I also think of some disturbing incidents, things that happened, and maybe... really regret being blind, and I still work on that to this very day.
Well, it's interesting.
Say again?
It's interesting, Dave, that you say that, because when I was left in the car and my mother would go into stores and things like that, I was often afraid that something would happen to her and she wouldn't come back. And no one would find me. So, I mean, I remember hopping out of the car trying to see if I could find my way into the store.
Mm.
But not, I never dawned on me to get in someone else's car.
No,
that's really interesting.
And when I was left in the car, I used to be afraid the car would roll.
Mm.
That too.
Oh,
that
I was
too.
Terrified that the car would roll. And then I would wonder what would happen if they didn't come back and get me.
Mm.
Yep, that. And also, when you mentioned that, I thought of something else. My mother, I remember her driving around a parking lot, and I would say, "Where are we?" And she'd say, "We're at the place, like at the store or wherever we were going." And I'd say, "Well, what are you doing?" And she'd say, "I'm looking for a place to park." And I had no idea about parking spaces. I said, "Well, just stop the car.
Yeah.
Why do you have to keep driving around?"
Well, that would make some sense.
Yeah.
But interestingly, later on, you know, I still remember I went to one of those and blindness things that we were all foisted upon us after high school. You know, you're supposed to go to a rehab program to prove that you could go to college. You know, and I dutifully went to the one we had in California. It's up in Santa Cruz, and I smoked more marijuana that year with the people that I just I couldn't deal with it. But the other thing that I did was that we went to the orientation center for the blind for a tour of it. And I saw some people, and I won't mention their names because I don't feel that's appropriate. And I saw the way they acted, and I thought to myself,
I do not want to be blind. I do not want to associate with any of these people. I hate the whole thing. And between that, 3 inches between that, you know, not getting, of course, my driver's license at 16, and another incident where a teacher, I basically asked him why he was involved in the sexual proclivities that he was, and his response to me was, well, when you're blind, you get it any way you can.
Oh, my gosh.
I guess I took all of this and, you know, shake and bake and whatever, and basically hated blindness, and still do to a greater degree than I'd like to admit. But I'm better at it, sort of. Although I came out again this weekend at my home. My sister, we were together for a long time, and I realized that I believe that she dislikes me intently because of my blindness. It's the one thing I can't change about myself. Mm. I don't know. It's a mixed bag. I'm not quite sure what I'm trying to impart, other than for me, blindness is an extremely mixed bag.
But I have always appreciated that about you, Dave, your honesty about it and your being able to articulate the mixed bag, because I think there are a lot of people that just kind of do their best with it, but they don't even necessarily always know how they feel, and they, you know, maybe either go to one side of that or the other, but they don't always appreciate the mixed feelings that there are. And I think for many of us there are mixed feelings. I have mixed feelings. I mean, I think most of the time I do my best to come out on the positive side of it, but that doesn't mean I always feel positive. Absolutely not. I appreciate that about you.
No, I guess it's one of those things you work with it until you're not working with anything anymore. I don't know that there's an answer. I'm certainly trying. I would like to be able to say I'm the most well-adjusted person that ever, you know, existed or felt, you know, and that's obviously not the case.
Yeah, but you know what?
I don't know any human being that is.
Exactly,
really.
Exactly. That's what I was just going to say. I think well-adjusted is such a, well, I can't use that adjective on the air, but,
no,
you know.
We're going right back to where we were, don't
well,
we?
Well, yeah, you know what? I used to want to write something, I still kid about it, called The Myth of the Together Person.
Yeah.
I don't think there is any such thing.
It's an absolute myth. I mean, you know, I think I'm pretty positive about my blindness, and I think I'm pretty positive about it probably 80 to 90% of the time, you know? But, you know, there's that other 10% of the time when it's just a bloody pain on the place where I'm currently sitting. And, you know, and for me to not acknowledge that is hypocritical. Now, I do believe in my case, and this is only my belief, that I don't even pretend to try to either explain or force to other people, but I do believe that my blindness is a gift, and that I have been given this gift.
Yeah, I can't go that far.
Yeah, and that's cool.
That's
cool. That's cool. I totally get that. And I don't know why I believe that. And perhaps.
Yeah, well.
Perhaps it's a coping mechanism. Right. I don't know.
And it's probably a fairly decent coping mechanism. I wish I could believe that. I, you know, unfortunately, every time I'm trying to get from point A to point B and can't, I don't do that well. So anyway,
there you go.
And I don't know. Again, I say all these things, and I realize that it didn't come out well. It didn't come out the way I wanted. You know, I guess that's what I'm trying to impart, that it is a mixed bag. There's certainly some good in it, but not, it's very interesting. And, I don't know.
Well, I know Debbie wants to say something here, so I'm going to say this and then let Debbie say what she wanted to add, but I think it came out very well, Dave.
I do too.
Absolutely. You were very clear.
I do too.
You were very clear and you were very sincere.
Yes.
Okay, well, anyway. Yeah. And I'm, you know, I do things, like I said, I'm just winding up my term as president of our radio club and stuff. So, I mean, I, I do plenty that's, you know, not blindness related.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's do what you do. But, yeah, it's all interesting anyway.
Yep.
It is.
But, yes, I did. Wow. I my love of cars came from just climbing in and out of other people's vehicles. And our friends, I'd go out in the garage. We had a couple of friends. I had a friend who was lawyer. They were a lawyer, and he was a lawyer, and they had a Cadillac in the garage. I'd have fun playing with electric windows. And, you know.
Oh, that's great.
That's great.
That's great.
Anyway, all right. All the best, y'all.
All right. Take care, sir.
Thank you, Dave.
Bye-bye.
And for me, it was other people's shoes.
Other people's shoes?
Yes, and I know other kids, blind and sighted.
Really?
I do that. Yeah, they want to take off anybody's shoes when they come over. I did. I took off people's shoes and put them on me. I wanted to see if I could, how I would feel if I walked like they sound.
Well, now,
you know?
I used to love the sound of people's shoes. I used to, mm-hmm. Sit like in church on Sunday morning and listen to all the different high heels as they all went to communion, you know?
Well, and you know that candy corn?
Yeah.
You know that we have at Halloween? I call it little high heels.
Well, I could see why you would. I could see.
I did.
Yeah.
But, you know, you said earlier you wanted to know something about what it meant to be perceived of as blind or
yes.
something like that.
Yes.
I wanted to.
Yeah, I said when people say to you, I don't think of you as being blind.
Oh, yeah. It's mixed because part of me thinks, well, what's wrong with that? And isn't it a shame that we have such a negative bunch of stereotypes about that? But the funniest thing that I think has ever happened to me with that was a couple of times on the phone when I've mentioned that I happen to be blind, I've had a couple people say, blind? You don't sound blind.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm like, well, what does that mean? How am I supposed
to
sound?
I could go, well, you want me to sound? Oh, we have another caller. Let's bring them in. Let's see if they sound blind. Go ahead. Welcome
That's
them in.
Right. Hello, this is Margaret. I don't know if I sound blind or not.
Debbie, meet Margaret from Arkansas.
Hello, Margaret.
Oh, I got the tail end of the first hour, and I'm just about to miss the whole thing again. But I thought I'd tell you two little stories. One thing blind kids think when they can't see anything that nobody else can really see it either.
Not only kids. I know some adults who think that.
Well, little kids. And one time my daddy told me to put my doll away and come to the supper table. And I didn't really want to do it, so I thought, well, I'll just put it in my lap at the table, you know. So I went to the table, and we were sitting there eating. And, of course, you know, kid-like, I'm down there once in a while looking at the doll. And he said, I thought I told you to put that doll away. And stupid me, 4 years old, I said, I didn't think you could see that. Oh! I tell you,
that's great.
I heard that belt go through his loop.
Oh, no!
And he liked to tore me in two.
Oh.
And I tell you, that's the last time I ever tried to pull anything over on him.
Oh, that's sad.
I didn't really think that I was exactly, well, my idea was, He probably can't see it, but it wouldn't hurt that bad if I brought it to the table.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He was teaching me, you don't take advantage of anybody.
Wow.
So I didn't, from then on, I made sure, I mean, it didn't take him very long to get me, you know, under his subjection and everything.
Wow.
But anyway, that was one thing. But I wanted to tell you, see, I was born with light perception, then cataracts, you know.
Me too.
By the time I was 2 years old, I couldn't see anything. Then back then when you had cataracts, they'd get these kids in there and needle a hole in the lens and let you roll a little bit and do it again. Well, I had that done 12 times between 2 years old and five.
By the time
I got to the school for the blind, if they said anything about a hospital, they had a problem on their hands because I didn't think you were supposed to go to the hospital without your mother, you know. Anyway, we did a lot of riding buses and trains, and I was scared to death of the sound of a train, you know, because they're just so massive and so loud.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I had these dolls. Oh, I laughed so hard a while ago when you were telling all that about the about how you you were telling the whole world you was blind and everything.
Yeah.
But I had this doll that I don't know why, but I named this doll Lysacki. And you could wind him up and he'd crawl across the floor. He had a red shirt on and blue pants. Well, I'd play with that doll and I'd say, oh, Lysacki, you've got cataracts on your eyes. You're going to have to go to an oppen table. And all my dolls were going to the oppen table because they had cataracts on their eyes.
Oh, that's funny.
So, I mean, you know, kids are only, it's the environment they know, and I was going in and out of the hospital all the time.
Yeah.
And that's really the biggest thing I knew. And when I got to school, people had to keep their hands off of me unless I knew what it was all about. I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing about a blind school. You don't know what these kids have been through when they hit school for the blind. If they've been under a lot of procedures that are frightening and, you know, stuff like that, people need to think about that when they just grab a kid up and try to make them do something.
Well, I agree.
Yeah, because it is
very
traumatic. They got us over there and vaccinated all of us. And when they got to me, I knew the smell of alcohol and ether and stuff like that. And all these procedures had been done on me back then under ether. And, well, they had to back everybody out of the treatment room and hold me down to give me a shot.
Well, you know, there's some interesting dialogue in Ronnie Millsap's book, Almost Like a Song, that actually supports some of what you're saying. And actually, Ronnie lost the sight in the one eye in which he had some sight because of a teacher. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, you know. I had just, and if you saw this book, something about faded vision, or I don't know what it was, this movie, I always felt like I hadn't seen anything until I touched it, even though my vision got up at one time to 20 over 200.
Yeah.
That's the top of legal blindness. But I didn't think that I had seen anything unless I had actually touched it.
Well, when I was a very little girl, I had a lot of shadow vision till I was 8, and I would probably still have vision today, but when I was 5, they took me away from my mother and brought me into an examining room. It was all people I didn't know, and they held things up in front of me that I'd never seen. You know, like letters.
Yeah, you didn't know what it was.
I didn't know what it was, so I was afraid to tell them, well, I don't know what that is, so I made things up. And I could see it as clearly as day, but I didn't know what that was. I didn't know those numbers.
Well, and that's just like the man didn't know it was Coke can till he touched it.
Yeah, yep. I didn't know what it was. Thing. And Debbie, you wanted to say something. Go ahead.
Well, the opposite of that scenario of, you know, where you don't know what other people can see when you can't and you don't know that they can all see. I remember the opposite of feeling something one time. I think something on my clothes was wet or something, and it was just a different feel. And I remember saying to my mom, feel this. And she said, I don't have to. I can see it. And I remember feeling really kind of alone in that moment, like the fact that she wouldn't feel it made me wonder if she really felt what I felt or what she really did feel.
Marlene, I forgot to tell you, you know, we were talking about color one time on your show, and I called in about some things. And I don't know if you heard this particular show that was on ACB Radio. But this woman was telling about she had a little girl about 5 years old. And so when she wanted to know what color something was, she'd ask the little girl, and the little girl would say, wait, let me go get the crayon box. And she had like 72 crayons, and she would get the thing that matched, and then on the side of the crayons it spelled out the word, and she would spell the color on the side of the crayon, and she'd say, Mommy, it looks just like that. And that's how they worked out a lot of colors.
Wow.
I was going to tell you that, and I forgot. Huh. But that's the most unique thing I have ever heard.
Yeah, yeah, that, that is pretty unique.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. But anyway, I just had to call in because I've been from totally blind to 2200 and up and down and up and down until I finally lost it all again. But I am thankful that I do know what color is. I know what the horizon line is. And I know when people say, oh, well, I know you can't see it. I said, but I've had enough memories. If you explain something to me, I will get it, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we went to Branson, and we looked at Christmas lights, and everybody said, oh, that's a whatever. Isn't that neat? And I thought, well, I'm having a great time. I can't see it, but, you know, I'm still enjoying what they say about
it. Yep, absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
So we can zone in. Well, we've had a wonderful time here. Our Lions Club had the Chuck Wagon Gang to come and sing for a big benefit, and we made a bunch of money. And then my low vision support group had a Christmas party yesterday, and we played Dirty Santa, but I made them pass everything around and let everybody see it and touch it and know what color it is. And then everybody got what they were happy with, and it all came from the Dollar Tree.
Well, you're a good
Aww.
Woman, Margaret. You're a good woman.
Well, I'm having fun. That's what I'm trying to do is have fun, okay?
Wait, you have good a very you. Merry Christmas.
Well, y'all
yeah.
too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Glad you called.
866-666-7926. What did you get your degree in, Deb?
Oh, gosh. I have degrees in psychology and counseling, and I have a master's in psych, and I have an educational specialist, which is above a master's and under a doctorate in guidance and counseling. I have a license in counseling and a license in massage, and oh, boy, it goes on and on.
You're just an eclectic woman. We have another call. I'm going to push the button. Ready, go.
Hi there. You're on the air with Debbie and Marlena.
Hey, Debbie.
Hi.
Hey, this is Danny calling you back very quickly.
Oh, Danny, we can't do that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's an open forum show.
Oh, heck.
Do you have an email address, Debbie, at ACB Radio that he could drop you a note?
I do. It's dhazelton, dhazelton, at acbradio.org.
All right, I'll write you.
All right, kiddo.
Okay.
Thanks, Danny.
Great.
Yeah, it gets confusing because what the rule is, and I didn't say it, what the rule is when we have a guest, you call once in that hour, and then in the open forum hour, you can call back. But since the whole show's been open forum, you only get to call once, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So now you are about to go back to school.
I am.
Do you want to talk about that?
Back. Well, I will.
Hang on before you do. We have another call.
Okay.
Ready? Go.
Okay. Hi, you're on the air with Debbie and Marlena.
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
Hey, Larry.
Hey. Yeah.
It's Larry T with
Yay.
You and me.
That's
great. Yes, and Larry
going?
Is my
I haven't
new...
talked to you much, Marlena.
I know.
I've been busy, but...
I know, and since I no longer come before you, I don't get to say, Larry T comes after me.
Yeah, I know. I miss that. I actually love that.
Oh, thank you. That's sweet. I miss doing the show, actually.
Oh, I bet you do.
I do. So
yeah,
what's up with you, Mr. T?
I've been doing usual work stuff and... had a very good Thanksgiving, as Debbie will attest to.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we went.
Yes, we did. We were in Illinois.
Yep.
Yes, we were in Illinois. We got our dose of cold weather.
Yeah. We miss that a lot here in Florida. We don't get it too often.
Yeah.
Yeah, right now I've got the windows open because it's actually pretty warm outside.
Wow. Well, not here.
Yeah.
Not here.
Well, I remember those days when I lived in Michigan. It was... Yeah, like those are cold weather there.
Yeah, like George Wurtzel said, it's trying to be Michigan. It's trying to be winter in Michigan, and I said it's trying to be Michigan in Seattle. So,
yeah, I heard him. He's a man after my own heart because I do a lot of home repairs and stuff like that. You know, along with the, of course, you know my part in computers, but
yeah,
at home I'd like doing electrical and plumbing repairs.
Wow.
Fun stuff like that.
Well,
A man of many talents.
A man of many talents, yeah. Very cool.
I'm about to invade on poor Larry's wonderful house. I'm about to move in.
Whoa.
And be a roommate to this wonderful person here, because I'm going back to school. And Larry said, oh, you can come live with me.
Well, I can't think of two more wonderful people who could be roommates.
I look forward to it.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Hey, Larry, if I lived in Orlando, I'd fight you for having Debbie as a roommate. We'd have a duel at sunset, Larry.
You could have joint custody of me.
That's right, joint custody of Debbie.
Then we just have to end up having to try to live on the same block or something.
There you go. Either that or we'd all have to move in together.
There you go. Now, that would work. We could do that.
Gary the board guy would constantly live with his Bose noise-canceling headsets on.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
I do these stuff with the ACBRI, and then also I'm a licensed ham operator as well, so I play with that.
Yep.
Oh, listen, don't let him fool you. He does the housework. He cooks.
Oh.
His house is so neat and clean. I mean, it's just incredible.
Well, I think it's great. I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas, Mr. Larry.
Yes, you too. I don't know exactly what I'll be doing yet. It kind of depends on how much company I end up having here.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it'll be fun either way.
Well,
you ought to tell everybody when your shows are on ACBRI.
Well, there's two of them. The first one is Friday from 1 to 3 UTC. That's the Anything Goes show. And I used to have Rachel on the board with me, but with her new job and all that, I don't know how often that'll be anymore. And then the second one that used to follow Marlena's show is on Saturdays, 0 to 2 UTC. That's the weekend retro dance party, where we party and kind of go in an upbeat tempo and have all kinds of fun.
Well,
yeah,
and everyone should tune in and listen, and make sure you tune in to Debbie next week. She's going to be filling in for me.
Absolutely.
Well, and I'll be on ACBRI tomorrow morning, 15 to 18 UTC for Good Energy Mix.
Yeah,
and also,
that one.
I wish you could. And also, I know on your show next time, Larry, is it next time or the time after, you've got a lot of very humorous holiday music.
Oh, yeah, that's probably going to be a couple of weeks away. That'll probably be around the 21st of December is when I'll usually set aside the dance party and bring out all of the real humorous Christmas songs that are out there.
Very cool. Very
cool.
That'll
be good.
And then I usually do the traditional Christmas on the Thursday night show.
Well, you have a wonderful Christmas if I don't talk to you beforehand.
Yes, you too. And I know we'll definitely talk at some point. And also, obviously, we'll see each other at the convention next year.
Absolutely.
Yep.
All right. Well, you take care, sir.
Yep, you too.
Thanks
okay.
for calling in.
Okay.
No problem.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So we've got about 2 minutes here, and you want to briefly talk about what you're going back to school for, or?
Yes, that and next week. I want to do both.
Yeah, well, why don't you go ahead?
I'm going back to school to get my doctorate in a rather unusual but very important field. I'm getting it in clinical sexology, and part of my legacy, aim, goal, whatever, is to work with the doctorate, in obtaining the doctorate, to come out with something that is very useful to blind and visually impaired people. I want to be able to open up a lot of issues and concerns that relate to us in terms of how we have issues that we have experienced in terms of sexuality and not experienced. And I want to develop something for parents and professionals.
So you'll be hearing a lot more about that as time goes on, because I have a lot of ideas and ways I want to be able to get people involved in that project.
I think that makes a great show topic as well. But what are you doing
next week?
Absolutely.
And next week we have a guest. His name is Jeff Prince. He is a personal financial analyst. And we're going to talk a lot about money. Money issues for blind people, money issues in terms of investment, money issues around holidays.
Well, that seems like a timely topic, especially the money issues around holidays. And
absolutely.
Debbie, I just, you know, all teasing and joking aside, I want to thank you so much for helping out with the program, for sitting in next week. And I know that you'll take good care of all my family when
I feel privileged. Thank you for asking me. It's a privilege, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to do that and to be a part of ACB Radio and to be your friend and to be connected with a wonderful audience.
Well, you are my dear friend, and I appreciate it. And to all of you who are listening and who couldn't call in, to all of you who did call in, thank you so much for returning back to actually hear a live program. And I apologize for the weeks where it's been repeats, but we're going to try to fix that and bring you nothing but good quality live call-in shows. I'm Marlena. I love each and every one of you. It's great to be back. And happy Hanukkah, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and peace be with everyone.